Today is Transfiguration Sunday, the last Sunday in Epiphany, the pivot point for entering Lent this Wednesday. The gospel story is familiar to many of us, but familiarity can sometimes mean we lose the sense of wonder that's captured there. And it also means we may bring to the story some assumptions that don't actually fit. So maybe we need to approach it with what I just talked about with you in the children's message, with wonder and holy imagination, and with hope that we'll find in it something that can encourage us on our journey as disciples, the lifelong journey of figuring out who each of us is being called to be and to do personally. The journey you and I are making as Peace Lutheran Church before we call a new settled pastor. And the journey of how in these dangerous and troubled times we can live and act faithfully with confidence and hope. So let's give it a try. The story begins with Jesus inviting Peter, James, and John to climb a mountain, a high mountain, in the fading light of day, hunting for a strong place to pray. And in case you might not remember, Matthew likes to use mountaintops as places of revelation and reorientation, as when he tells of Jesus proclaiming the Beatitudes. So hold that thought. The disciples and Jesus probably weren't talking, just breathing, maybe even panting at times as they climbed higher and higher. And finally they arrived. They sat down and they closed their eyes. But suddenly, even with their eyes closed, the disciples saw or felt light. They weren't sure whether to open their eyes to see where the light was coming from, but then they did. And there, right in front of them, was Jesus, but Jesus looking not like the one who'd called them as disciples and had called them to come and pray on the mountain. The Jesus they saw in front of them was pulsing with light, and his clothes were dazzling white. And there were two other people with him, Moses and Elijah, and they were talking with Jesus. And that's when Peter remembered the story of the tent of meeting in the wilderness where Moses met God, and the story we heard earlier of Moses meeting with God on Mount Sinai. So Peter offers to set up tents, one for each of them. Now, Peter's instincts were good. They often were. He knew he was in the presence of the presence of God. But as often happened with Peter, he kind of missed the point. Peter wanted to honor and preserve this amazing moment in some way. But God interrupted Peter, saying the words only Jesus had heard at his baptism. "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased," and adding now, "listen to him." Those words, now spoken in the disciples' hearing, signal not just the importance and the authority of Jesus, but also the revelation that in the new community, listening is the primary posture and activity of discipleship. In the future, as the three disciples would learn many times over, Jesus wouldn't remain with them after the resurrection. So his disciples, including Peter, James, and John, would use what they had learned by listening to Jesus to teach, to encourage, to guide the emerging Christian community. Of course, the three disciples didn't get all this in the moment. Indeed, when a voice from heaven uttered these words, they fell over, maybe even fainted, overwhelmed by fear. And yet, this wasn't simple terror or awe. It was fear of the Lord, a reverent, embodied response to the presence of God that runs deep in the Hebrew Scriptures. This kind of fear isn't irrational or shameful. Rather, it's the appropriate recognition that you are standing on holy ground. And then Jesus touches the three disciples and says, "Get up and don't be afraid." Jesus' authority in Matthew isn't distant or crushing. It doesn't overwhelm human fear. Rather, it meets it with presence. So the authority the disciples inherit and will exercise in the future isn't the radiance of the mountaintop, but rather the nearness of Christ in moments when we're afraid. And the community of Christians will be afraid of Rome, of those among the Jews who thought they were heretics, or of their neighbors who simply found them too strange or too darn loving to be trusted. There on the mountaintop, experiencing the touch of Jesus, the three disciples dare to look up. And when they do, they see that Moses and Elijah are gone. Only Jesus remains. And so it becomes clear that from now on, listening to Jesus has become the way the law and the prophets are lived rather than preserved. Finally, the disciples and Jesus come down the mountain. As they go, Jesus orders them to say nothing about what they had seen and heard until after the resurrection. And so they go, now with some understanding of what God's authority sounds like, a voice that calls for listening, and with some understanding of what God's authority looks like, a hand that touches and calms fear. So even though the three disciples will themselves often forget and have to be reminded, they move downward with Jesus into silence, into suffering, into trust, continuing to watch, listen to, and learn from the one God had signaled would show them how. Well, you and I weren't on the mountaintop that day, but we too know something about fear, uncertainty, transitions. We're living through one, pretty big one, with Pastor Diane guiding us and God guiding us all. So how wonderful that today we hear this story, so helpful and reassuring. It doesn't offer false comfort or ask us to forget our fears. Instead, it reassures us that God doesn't abandon us when we lose clarity, that Christ remains present, sometimes radiant, sometimes quiet, calling the church to listen, to rise, and to follow, even when the path ahead isn't clear. And it assures us that in the midst of transition, when we find ourselves living between the questions and the answers, between promise and fulfillment, Faithfulness isn't measured by completion or control, but by trust. God's promises are not nullified by uncertainty. They are carried forward through it. Somebody has said that today's gospel story names the reality of unfinished hope. Unfinished hope. The call to live faithfully when prayers are still unanswered, when the future of our congregation feels unclear, and when God's work seems only partially visible. The transfiguration doesn't resolve that tension. Instead, it blesses it. The disciples descend the mountain, not with answers, but with Jesus. And that is enough to keep on walking until what God has prepared for us, because God loves us, is revealed. Today, we've heard a story that we can carry with us as we go. It tells you nobody has to go up the mountain alone. It tells us that sometimes things get really scary before they get holy. But above all, that there's someone standing in the center of the cloud with you, shining so brightly that you may never be able to wrap your mind around him, but who is worth listening to all the same, because he, Jesus, is God's beloved. And whatever comes next, you and Jesus are up for it. Amen. And now we turn to our hymn of the day, How Good Lord to Be Here, number 315, and we'll